What's up, guys? It is Rick Ginn, and you are on the Rick Ginn YouTube channel. And today we are all talking about just the three simplest things you can do to close any wholesaling deal. It might sound somewhat rudimentary, but it definitely holds true. And I'm going to go into that. And then what we will do, if you are new to this channel, I welcome you. You have two ways to communicate with us. On the right-hand side there, you'll have your comment section. Guys, introduce yourself. Let us know what market you're in. I do this channel so I can spend more time with you guys, and I can answer tons of questions, and that's the best way to communicate with me. Also, you'll see a link. It should say Rick Ginn on there. It's pinned to the top. If you want to do a one-on-one with me, if you're new to the channel or you want to work on a deal or you got any questions, that is a great way to get a hold of me. You can put your picture on there. You can put your face on there. You can put your live video on there. It doesn't matter. But this is a great place to ask questions for those of you who actually want help with wholesaling. Me and Zach don't charge anything for this. We actually make this free. Now, the best way to really get started with us, if you're brand new to this channel, you've never done anything with wholesaling before, or maybe you started wholesaling and you're struggling getting started, what I want you to do is go over to right below here somewhere, freewholesaling.com. This is a 100% free course me and my son have created, and it was probably created more out of frustration than anything. I've been through the ridiculous hoops you guys have to go through. Wholesaling is actually very simple. It's us human beings that complicate us. And a lot of gurus create courses and make it super complicated to figure out how to do this business. I'm here to tell you, you don't need all that stuff. So you need simple direction from someone that's actually done this business. Me and my son's experience of 27 years, and we're right here in the United States, particularly in Florida, but we do it all over the country, do virtual wholesaling, and we actually run a legitimate wholesaling business. Now, I've done everything. I've done fix and flips. I do land deals. I've done the Burr method, which only works in very, very limited markets, in my opinion. And I've done creative financing. I've done lease options. I've done literally everything. And I'm here to tell you, you've got to understand the fundamentals of wholesaling is, if you understand how to wholesaling, all those techniques I just shared with you, they're endless in what you can do. I've never met someone that's not super successful in all the areas I just mentioned that didn't start out in wholesaling. And guys, I'm here to solely talk about wholesaling, because you got to understand this, is wholesaling is a niche business. So you have real estate investing, which really incorporates everything, but wholesaling is the art of buying properties today at a deeply discounted rate and then basically selling them for today's profit. And if you understand the art of that and you truly master it, there's very few things you can't conquer in the real estate investing and business, particularly in wholesaling. And I'm here to tell you, without wholesaling, anyone who tries to tell you there's a shortcut to wholesaling, understanding, I guarantee they have something to sell you. So somehow, a few gurus, one in particular, has basically turned wholesaling into like just dispositions. And that part drives me nuts. So if you're doing nothing but dispositions as a wholesaler, I'm here to tell you, it's not really wholesaling. I'm sorry. It's just the truth. You're really, in my opinion, just a glorified real estate agent. Let me give you an example. There's not a day that doesn't go by in my DMs in the real and wholesaling houses for real Facebook group, which is over 100,000 people. And in my text, everything else says, guys, I've got all the buyers. I just need your deals. Drop me a DM. And I noticed there's hundreds, if not thousands of people sending out the same message, and it all comes from the same course. So that course teaches you nothing but on how to dispo other people's wholesaling deals, which I've done, but I never made a full-time business out of it. So they've taught you that wholesalers are stupid. Just take advantage of wholesalers and sell their deals for a few thousand dollars and sell 50 at a month. Well, I can tell you how that works out. So guys, I'm here to show you how to do wholesaling. So freewholesaling.com, make sure you go there first. And guys, if you enjoyed today's content, do me a favor, make sure you smash that like button And please, please make sure you are subscribed to this channel. Why? Because I release videos on here that I don't release on Flip with Rick or my son's channel, Zach Ginn. I put it all out here. I'm known as AKA The Dad. I've been wholesaling for 21 years, and I'm one of the rare people that actually enjoy this business. I'm very passionate about it, and I love doing it. And if I can just share a glimmer of my success and teach you how to do it, then we can actually have a lot of fun working together. So I am here to change the failure rate of 90 to 95% and do it the other way. If I provide you a free course and you get your first deal out of it and you get to your first $100,000 deals, I've accomplished my deal. I have done the correct way to do it. Now, I will tell you this. This business actually requires hard work. End of story. There is no shortcut about it. If you don't figure out how to do the hard work, I don't care who's teaching you. You are not going to make it. So if you pay someone or you get it for free, you actually have to put in the hard work. That's called the journey of wholesaling. There is no shortcut on it. Anyone who tells you there's a shortcut on it, I promise you they have something to sell you. You see, because you actually have to put in the work. So if you want to be a famous football player, you want to be an incredible baseball player, you want to be any type of athlete, a UFC fighter, you're going to have to put in the work. Nobody ever skips the work. If it was as easy as buying your way to the top, everybody would have done it by now. So you've got to understand that going into it. So guys, use the comments. I know you guys got a lot going on today. And we will go from there. So put your comments in there. What I'm going to do is just roll in my simple presentation today. And honestly, I've already told you guys all overcomplicate this business, like massively, massively overcomplicate it. Why? How do I know this? Because I know it. Because I hear your questions. So you have to simplify what you do and you have to have clarity and focus in everything you do. And if you can do that, you can be very, very successful in wholesaling. So without further ado, let's roll into it. And then we will jump in with the questions and I'll try to keep you guys awake. So it's sometimes wholesaling can get pretty boring. I agree with it, but the business is super exciting. The problem is you got to stick around long enough to actually make it in this business. So I always teach you the core philosophy of how me and Zach teach this business. Learn how to be a marathon runner, not a sprinter. All sprinters die. They never make it across the finish line. You guys see gurus, which most of them are sprinters. They're all dying at their footsteps right now because they only learned the business in the last 5 years. And honestly, the last 5 years is not even a slight representation of how this business works. It was an anomaly. It was an exception. And I don't think you're ever going to see that time again. So I love when I see a wholesaler goes, I'm quitting wholesaling because it's too tough. It's so challenging. I can't deal with it. And man, you don't even know what tough is. So I survived from 2009 to 2013. You have no idea what tough was. And I will tell you everything I'm going to teach you today are the facts I learned out of the toughest time you'll probably ever see in the next 75 years in wholesaling, in my opinion, and the real estate market. And if I could survive that market, I'm here to tell you, the only reason I survived that market because I stick to the core of wholesaling. All speculators, fix and flip, burr people, everyone, every one of them got wiped out. And honestly, if I didn't change my direction and stick to my core of wholesaling, I would have been wiped out too. So for the record, I've tried everything. And I always come back to wholesaling because wholesaling is the one thing that always works. Now, wholesaling is a job. I've never hid that from anybody. But it's an extremely high-paying job. And it creates cash. So you can buy cash-flowing assets to take care of you the rest of your life. You have to put in 2 years in this business to really reap the rewards of wholesaling. No, 6 months is not going to be enough to make you wildly wealthy. It will get you out of the rat race, but it's not going to make you wealthy in itself. So let's jump into it. Let's talk about the three simple steps to close every, if not most, wholesale deal. So guys, it's Monday. We got to fire up and wake up with it. So I'm not even going to play the my usual song on the Flip with Rick channel. So we got to figure this out. So the main thing is most of you, like your explanation to sellers, you make it so complicated. Simplify your explanation. What do I mean by that? Stop. Number one, don't tell them you're a wholesaler because they don't know what a wholesaler is. Or if they know what a wholesaler is, a realtor probably told them, or they read some sort of negative article from the We Buy Ugly Houses guys, and they assume you're there to rip them off. You're just a regular Joe looking to buy a house for cash. I'm looking for a house in this neighborhood. Does your house foot the bill? Stop trying to be this highly sophisticated real estate entrepreneur wholesaler and try to explain this complicated thing, which you know is a huge lie. And once you start off with a lie, it just rolls and it goes downhill and it gets really bad. So what you need to do is really just focus on one main thing. I'm a guy just looking to buy a house for cash, or me and my partner are looking to buy a house for cash in this neighborhood. I'd love to see if your house foots the bill. Would you be interested in talking to me? That's it. Do not go into this long one. I have a $5 million fund. Someone's heard the other day, I literally heard this out of a guru's mouth. We have a $50 million fund. No, you don't have a $50 million fund. It doesn't. Buying single family houses, buying them one by one, to spend $50 million is, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but you're not going to get good buys. Not over 2 years, maybe, but over a 90-day period, absolutely not. You're going to get killed. You're going to get, at best, very, very low marginal returns, or you're probably going to lose money. You can't, because you got to go house by house. Apartments, commercial buildings, stuff like that, yes, whole different world. But in single family homes, it's unrealistic. So what I'm trying to tell you is, number one, tell the truth and simplify it. The more complicated you make your explanation to a seller, the harder it is for them to wrap their head around you. And I'm like, here's one little secret I'll tell you. Sometimes you take your company and you put it to the side. Why? Because if they think and know you are the buyer, then they can have a straight one-on-one conversation. A lot of times when you use corporations, they assume you're a big giant corporation and they're going to go through a lot of delays and paperwork, and you create anxiety with your seller. So focus on one singular point, and really just all you have to do is basically let them know, hey, me and my partner are buying the house for cash. Let's see if your house qualifies. So if you just go back in on this inner conversation and do it just like that, it works. But a lot of times when you start out, you guys try to be bigger and badder than you actually are. They don't care. Honestly, here's the secret. Most people sell houses to private individuals 10 times over what they'll ever sell to a corporation, because they feel like someone's accountable, they're responsible, and they care about them, and they don't treat them just like a number. The reality is, people selling us houses, they have challenges. That's why they didn't call a regular realtor. Or maybe they've had a bad experience with a realtor. So you have to overcome those challenges and help them out with it. The last thing you want to do is make yourself bigger than you actually are. Honestly, I think I got a lot of my first few deals because people just wanted to give me a shot. They go, you seem pretty honest. You're likable. You've been very professional about everything. Heck, I might as well just go ahead and give you a shot. I can't tell you how many of the first few houses I bought were just like that. And then somebody tried to teach me, like, tell them you got a $5 million fund. Tell them you're a big corporation. Honestly, people like quick decisions from private individuals. So in the beginning, I always marketed myself as Rick Ginn, just looking to buy houses. Why? Because my name's Rick Ginn, and I'm looking to buy houses for cash. It is a singular focus point, and you can't screw it up. And the more moving parts you put in your sales presentation, the more it's going to fall apart. So I never had to rehearse because I knew my name and I did want to buy houses for cash. So it wasn't a lie. I didn't have to forget it and I didn't have to memorize a script. So most of the time, if you simplify your process, it works really, really well. And what I'm trying to tell you is, moving on to the next thing, is stop trying to complicate the process. It's actually really simple. You have a buyer and you have a seller. If you guys can come somewhere in the middle, over to this side, or maybe even to this side, and put a deal together, that's all a wholesale deal is. Now, you have to understand, you're not out to close on every deal you ever make an offer on. If you did, I would be scared for you, because business doesn't work that way. So maybe make 10 or 20 offers and one person considers it. I'm perfectly fine with that. So realtors, They want to list every house they meet in front of it. Wholesalers, we understand. It is a numbers game for us, and we play the numbers game. And if you don't write offers and you don't go on enough appointments, you will never get the numbers game. You're never going to have the perfect appointment. Stop looking for it. It's going to happen by an accident, and you're going to go, that was the best appointment I ever had in my life. And you cannot expect that going forward. So we have to solve a lot of problems in wholesaling. So stop complicating it. If you are doing a over-the-top presentation, simplify it. People like to do business with people they understand and that are likable. And if you can accomplish those two things and you find the right type of people, the right targeted list, like government lists, like we teach you. And if you want to learn how to do that, go over to freewholesaling.com. I teach it in grave, grave detail. So my biggest advice to you is understanding that just simplify your process. And if you think it's overly complicated and you're having a problem understanding it, I guarantee your sellers do not understand it. So that's the first thing you have to understand. The second biggest tip I can give you for closing any wholesaling deal is what you do before you meet with the seller sets up if you're going to win or lose. Let me repeat that one more time. What you do with your seller before you meet with them, either on the phone or in person, is going to dictate your overall success of closing wholesale deals. How do I know this? Because for the longest time, I never did this part in the business. And only out of necessity and complete frustration and having a third party saying, why don't you try it this way, did I put two and two together. You see, here's what happens. You have to condition the seller. Because if you give your seller an out, they'll take it every time. Why? Because selling a home is one of the most stressful things they can do. So obviously death would be the highest stressful thing in life. We all know that. Taxes are considered a big stressful thing. Moving, which ties into selling your house, would be number three. So moving and selling your house is probably the second or third most stressful thing in a human's life. So on average, half the people are going to give you a blow-off answer if you put them on the spot on a price on their house, even if you know they're motivated. So what do we do to prevent this? So this is a lot like sports. If you can do some preventative measures, you can help ensure the outcome of what you're going to do. Now, when I'm meeting with a seller, I got the right seller, everything's going well, and you do not do this preconditioned statement, you get to the final number. So, Mr. Seller, I tell you what, if we can do $80,000, can we move forward today? It sounds like that number is going to work for you, and I know you want to get out of here by the end of the month. So do I have permission for me to go out to my car and get a contract and put that paperwork together? And our dream answer is absolutely, Rick, I love you. I want to move forward with you. Our nightmare answer, the worst answer you can have, most of you think it's no. It's not no. I fully accept no. I actually love no. I love the word yes, or I love the word no. The most dreaded word in the wholesaling language is let me think about it, or I maybe let me get back with you. And I got to tell you, if it hasn't happened to you yet, it's going to happen to you. And there is only one way to do countermeasures to prevent it. And it's just setting up your seller ahead of time. And this is simply as it goes. Remember, simplify your process. I'm on the way over to meet with my seller. You ready? And I said, Mr. Seller, listen, before I go in, take a look at your house, meet your lovely family, and see if I can help you out, I need you to do me a favor. And he's like, what's that, Rick? Tell me. Well, at the end of our discussion, and we're going to spend probably 45 minutes together, at the end of it, you'll have a decision to make. And your decision is either, hey, I like what Rick is proposing, I want to sell my house and move forward, or I don't like it, it's not going to work, and I don't like you, Rick, and it's going to be a hard no, and I'm going to move on with my life. Either way, I'm okay with the yes or the no, but you have to make a decision. Is it fair to hold you accountable for that statement? And then I shut up and I let them answer it yes or no. What have I done by that? it gives me a safety cord if they use the maybe or I have to think about it. Now, I'm here first to tell you is when they say I need to think about it or maybe, it's usually an excuse. Number one, maybe they're just not flat out telling you the truth and I'd rather flush it out sooner than later by doing the preconditioning statement. Number two, you have not overcome their main objections and that's a great time to go back and explore it. Walking out of there with a maybe is the worst outcome you can have in wholesaling. And if you don't believe me, put in the comments if you've ever had the maybe or I got to get back to you. I got to check my lawyer. I got to do this. Snuff it all out before you get to the end of the conversation because when you're done at the end of the conversation, there's nowhere left for you to go. Now, if they have a major objection up front and it's going to be hard to overcome, deal with it up front before you get into a long-winded, like 1 hour, you know, visiting, negotiations, and closing, because the sooner you know this, the better off you're going to do. So we have to precondition our sellers every time, because if you don't, most of them will default to the maybe or let me think about it and I'll get back with you. And sometimes that is the honest answer. That's what they're feeling. But for the most part, they usually don't want to tell you no, and they want to leave their options open and see if someone else will pay them more. And you can't be the backup to the prom date. It's the worst thing. Do not be the maybe guy. Do not go into the friend zone. It's just not a good place to be in wholesaling. Ask me how. My first 3 years, I spent in the friend zone a lot, way too much. And when I learned this, it's not a trick. It's letting them know I need an answer if I'm going to spend this much time with you. And if they tell you up front, I don't even think I can make a decision, I'm not going to go deep into a presentation with them because you're just wasting time and you're going to give them an out. And then you find out sometimes they can't move for 6 months. They can't move for a year. You got to find ways to solve that up front. So what I'm telling you is if you don't precondition your seller, I almost guarantee you're going to have an extremely low closing rate. Why? Because I experienced it and I'm trying to save you the aggravation from it. And you simply have a conversation. It takes about a minute or two to get it out. And then I always tell them, Mr. Seller, I'm okay with the yes or the no, but you have to make a decision. And here's what I'll do. I'll even take it one step further. I promise you, no matter what your decision is, I'll still help you sell your home. Now, what does that mean? I might refer them with a realtor. I might have to do follow-up. Heck, I might even bring somebody else in to buy it. But I want to if you really try to help people out in wholesaling, you're going to do very well. If you're just out for this for yourself, get out of the business because you're going to get killed. It's just the truth. So preconditioning the seller, I guess the technical word is conditioning your seller. Once I learned how to condition a seller, my maybes were cut by 70% down. You're still going to get some of them. And at freewholesaling.com, we teach you how to overcome these objections. And remember, when someone doesn't always give you the answer you want, it just means most likely you did not overcome their overriding objection. And until you overcome it, you're not going to get the answer that needs to be made for the deal. So understanding that, going through it, you have to understand preconditioning them. So let's see here. Boy, it's a big one, man. This is so simple. I don't even know why I have to put this out there. You ready? Just spend more time dealing with qualified sellers. The more qualified sellers you deal with, the more deals you deal with. What do I mean by qualified seller? It's simple. Make sure they come from some sort of list that has a history of motivation, aka all your government lists. Think about this: tax delinquencies, probates, eviction list, pre-foreclosure list, code violations, water shutoffs, fire damaged properties. Those have the most core fundamental motivation for common sense reasons. If somebody's on that list, they have a high probability of most likely wanting to solve a real estate problem. Where there's smoke, there's fire. So go where the smoke is. And by the way, there is not smoke on the MLS. No matter what you're being told, buying on-market properties with realtors, in my honest opinion, is the toughest way to get a wholesale deal. Honestly, it has nothing to do with wholesaling. Now, if it sat on the market 6 months to a year and the property's vacant, maybe you might have a slight bit of motivation, but you still have to overcome getting through the realtor. which has one objection, one objective. Obviously, if they've had it listed for 6 to 12 months, they want to get the highest price possible, regardless of how much time it takes to sell. And that goes against everything we have in wholesaling. Now, I've bought deals off the MLS, but it's the rare exception. So I go on MLS looking for certain types of properties, but I don't really consider that wholesaling. So I do long-term buys and holds. I love certain types of deals. I love commercial deals and multifamilies. And some of those you do have to go on MLS. But for the most part, I don't buy those properties with the intent to wholesale. Because even if you had the greatest deal in the world, think about this. You don't have the money to fund it. So you got to make your contract assignable, which most realtors melt over. They just go crazy. And then number two is you've got to overcome that was already on MLS and they've already seen the price and they're going to have heartburn with the price. It's just going to be really, really hard to do it. And then the third party is you got to overcome the title company, and usually you're not in control of it. Depending on how you're buying it, it becomes a real, real problem. So I don't like doing them. So what I like to do is find properties that are going to have the highest motivation of off-market properties with massive amount of motivation. So that's why we push the government lists so well, because they work. And I know I can't create an entire course on it, but I have. It's over at freewholesaling.com. Is these things work really well. And I want you to understand is if you're wholesaling and you're spending time on MLS, you are not really wholesaling, because that is what we consider an on-market deal. And honestly, even FSBOs, they are considered on market, even though if they're not on MLS, and they're difficult. Not saying you can't get a deal off of them, but you're going to have to find most likely a tired landlord that has a problematic property that they've tried and tried to cure with realtors, selling it on their own. And at some point, they get so fatigued trying to sell the property, you might have a shot. The only way to overcome the FSBO is massive amount of quantity. So if you go, hey, Rick, I called 100 FSBOs. I didn't get a deal. What do I do? I could do 100. Was that the first hour or the second hour? They're like, no, that's what I did all month. You're not serious about this business, because on market properties take a tremendous amount of volume to even get one deal. Ask me how I know this. I've been doing this 21 years. I know what kind of volume I need just in off market deals, and it's still big. On market deals, I would probably multiply it by 10 minimum to even have a shot. There's a reason they're on market. They want the highest dollar amount. Why do you think you're going to override it? So when you do that, you waste a ton of time. You burn yourself out, and it's the fastest way to get out of wholesaling. And then you find some guru says, I don't know why you're trying to compete with all those other wholesalers. I have a shortcut away. You don't even have to deal with that. And that's fine. If you want to be a dispo manager and you want to go get your real estate license, you are nothing more than a glorified realtor when it's all said and done. Prove me wrong. You got your real estate license, and all you do is call wholesalers all deal to see if you can JV their deals. That, to me, a realtor can do that. They don't need a wholesaler to do that. And if you're going to take that method, I would strongly advise against it. And you need to understand that. So my last and favorite one, which I get a lot of crap on the internet about this, and I really don't care, because it's the truth. You need to go for the no when you make your first offer. Why? Because you need to know where your negotiations stand. If you want to do it the old-fashioned way, like a realtor does, and you want to spend 4 hours doing one comp and then go and say, Mr. Seller, I think I can get you $399,999 for your property. If all goes perfect, we stage the property, we do everything. You see, their only goal there is a total gross sales number. In wholesaling, we do it the opposite way. So I have to be on the opposite side of the spectrum. Now, a lot of people think, well, that's sharky and it's unethical. Why? So if a realtor is willing to go to the tippy top, why can't I go to the bottom? Because if I build enough rapport and have a great conversation, a realtor always goes for yes. I go for no. Why? Because when I get a counter offer, I cut my negotiation times by 70%, at least in half. And then I get a counter offer, mostly from the subconscious mind, go, listen, me and my wife cannot go below 150,000. That's just our bottom line number. If I started at 180, 190, they would have gone, well, our minimum offer is 200. So understanding the final offer in a seller, they always have in their head. And if you get close or shoot to that number, you just push their number up. It's human psychology. So you're better off by going for the no. Now, here's the challenge. You've been taught it's going to make you really wildly uncomfortable to make that offer. That's correct. And remember, we don't force anyone to sell us a house. So I get misquoted all the time. He just beats people up and gets the lowest price. No, I have a method to my madness and it works. Why? Because I've had tens and tens of thousands of conversations with seller. And if you try to go at your MAO, you just push your offer number up and you never get anywhere. All the time. You're better off going in with a low number. You don't have to overcomp it. You spend less than 10 minutes. And at the end of the day, you have to find out what your seller's bottom line number to get the best deal possible. Is that considered sharky? Is it considered capitalism? It's considered the truth. It's just the dang truth. If you can't handle the truth, get out of this business. I'm here to tell you, if you go for a yes, you need to just go get your realtor's license because you will never make it as a wholesaler. I know that's a painful statement, but it is extremely true. Use the go for no method so you can get a counter offer from your seller to get to the final negotiations. And remember, just because they reject your first offer, that doesn't mean that's the final price where it's going to settle, but you got to get your seller to move to even have a shot at getting a great wholesale deal. And if you're constantly trying to figure out what's the highest you can go on your offer, you're always going to default to it because you were taught to be a realtor and get a yes on your first offer. My method is completely opposite, but guys, I've been doing this business 21 years. You decide which method you want to go with. I have never had a shortage of deals. I do not pay top dollar. And honestly, if they want top dollar, I am not the guy to play with. You're just wasting your time and my time, and I'm going to move forward. So for you to deal with qualified sellers, when you get them, just use the go for no method because it will save a lot of time. And if you're thinking like, well, Rick, I'm brand new to this business. I don't have the guts to do it. Well, you're going to figure it out real quick. Because if you want to spend 3 years making the offers for yes, you're going to overpay for your properties and you're not going to make a lot of money. And you're probably going to either quit the business or wind up being a realtor. If you figure out my way is I'm going to show you how to have the tough conversation up front, not get kicked out of the property or hung up on the phone and get to a final negotiation faster. You take a lot of pressure off your seller and you don't waste as much time. It is really the best way to do it. Yes, it's a difficult conversation up front. You should feel a pit in your stomach. Why? Because you're making a low offer. But remember, we're not offering on beautiful prestige properties that have been fully renovated, that have no story behind it. You're pitching on properties that have problems. And for us to take on a problem, we have to be compensated and we have to create a win-win situation for all parties involved. And if you think just like that, this business is incredible. If you don't think like that, it will completely fall apart on you. And I want you to understand that going into it is a lot of you bite me on this, but I'm here to tell you the people that do the best, they go, Rick, I did the go for no. I was so nervous. I thought I was going to throw up, but I made the offer and I got it for $30,000 less than I ever thought I'd pay for it. Why? Because every one of you watching this video are trying to figure out what the seller number, their final number is in their head. And guess what? You're never going to know what that number is. You know how you snuff the number out? Just go for no. Make, so if the property is worth, the ARV is $200,000, offer $110,000, $120,000. If it gets accepted, you're gold. If it gets rejected, at least you should get a counter out of it. And then a lot of you are thinking, well, I'm going to offer 170. That's my MAO. And then you go, I'm going to offer 165 right off the bat. The guy goes, absolutely not. You're not even close. What do you do? And you offer it high enough to where he thinks he can bait you up to the 200 and you're stuck. And now the psychology is not going to work in your favor. So you're better off by doing this. This is what I call a preemptive strike when you're going into wholesaling. A preemptive strike allows you to use a method that is not traditional, but get you to the ends of a means and get you there faster, efficiently, and take stress off both sides of the party It's the go for no method. Take it. But I've only been doing this 21 years. So you decide which method you guys want to follow. If you stop going for yes on every first time, that's what realtors do. And like, I don't want you to be a realtor. And you have to understand, every contract you write on a deal doesn't mean it's a deal. To this date, I've written contracts that just don't work out. And here's the one thing I've learned in life. Stop fighting it. If the number doesn't work and you can't get your seller to come to that number, move on or try to renegotiate or put them in your follow-ups. It's like the universe is telling you this isn't going to work out for a reason. And the more you try to force it to make it work, the harder it's going to get. And you'll find if you'll let go of that and just do a natural follow-up organically, time and circumstances will probably get you exactly what you want. Trying to force people to do a deal when you know it's way too tight and it's not going to work, you're just going to spin your wheels. Remember, you don't make any money in wholesaling and writing contracts. So many of you think, oh my God, I wrote a contract. Now, if that's a benchmark for creative financing, then knock yourself out. Go over there because you'll get a little check mark for writing a contract and getting it accepted. The reality is, can you turn that into a profit? And unless you do creative financing the way I teach, make money from day one, you'll always be out there like, am I actually going to make money doing this? Now, if you have a bankroll behind you and you have a legal team and you got a lot of experience, knock yourself out. Most of you don't. And by the way, creative financing is not a shortcut or a substitution for wholesaling. You'll find more creative deals within wholesaling, but you've got to learn how to talk to people, how all contracts work, different types of loans. That's why I'm not a huge fan of people learning creative financing off the bat with zero experience, because most of the time you don't know what you're doing. I get it. You could take a course, a guru, knock yourself out. But if you don't understand what you're doing when you take over someone's loan, there's real consequences if people don't live up to their agreements, including yourself and your seller. And if you take over creative financing on your seller and you sell it to somebody else because you're cool, you made a quick 10 grand, and that person doesn't wind up paying the mortgage and the property goes in default, you, Mr. Middleman Creative Financing, you can be at risk of being sued on the transaction because all the seller knows is you. So if you don't understand how to assign over creative financing and stuff, please do not use this as a quick fix. I see it advertised out there all the time. Just do creative financing. You don't have to compete with wholesalers. It's not a good way to start. Creative financing is amazing and I love it, but you have to learn it correctly. And the only way you can learn it is you have to learn all the terminology. You have to understand how the business works and you have to understand what you're on the hook for. And if you don't understand that because you thought it was a quick fix to wholesaling or it was easier, you're going to find out the hard way. Most people do creative financing. They don't make money from day one. So you go out and do three or four deals like, how do I make money? Guess how you make money in this business? You wholesale. That's how you make money. You can do all the creative financing deals you want. So not every contract's a deal. I don't care what people say. Yes, I've written contracts and they just don't work out. If you batted 100% on your contracts, you are not wholesaling. Honestly, it should be way less than 10%, probably around 5 to 7% of your contracts that get accepted, depending on how you write them. So some of you guys like write contracts and just throw stuff out on the wall and see if it's going to stick on there. So guys, that's it. You have to simplify this process. So just, I want you to understand, focus on one singular thing and just tell the truth up front. I'm a cash buyer looking to buy your property. Stop trying to hide behind this giant conglomerate corporation. They don't care. Honestly, sellers prefer to work with you individually one-on-one because they think you care more. Number two, I want you to understand, you have to condition the seller before you go there to avoid the maybe and the friend zone. If you get stuck there, it's your own fault because you did not take the time to do what I've taught you how to do. If you want to learn how to do it, go over to freewholesaling.com. It's called conditioning or preconditioning the seller. It works really well. And the last one is just, dude, use the go for no. And I know you're like, oh God, Rick, it's so scary. You know what's scary? Is when you get a yes off the bat, you overpay for a property and you spend the next month or two desperately trying to sell it after calling 30 cash buyers and they're telling you the price is wrong, you need to adjust it. Do you know what's scary? Calling that seller back to either get out of the contract or try to get a price adjustment, because you keep missing on the price. You're better off getting rejected up front and finding out what the counter offers and see if you can work that into a deal. Hands down, that's harder up front, but easier on the back end. If you do it the way the gurus teach you and go on MLS to buy on market properties, it seems super simple up front. That's because you can swipe your credit card and they get paid and they can drag you out for 2 to 3 months and then blame you on your inaction. And then it's extremely difficult on the back end. The guru's gone and you're left to sit there to try to sell three properties that you put under contract that the realtor is depending on you, the seller's depending on you, and the buyers are just toying with you because they know you have it overpriced. And then if you ever get a buyer, you're going to have to overcome the MLS price, which is public information, and you're trying to sell it at the same price or more, which is like crazy if you think about that. So that is it, guys. Let's see here. Let me answer some questions, and I got a bunch of people on the live here, and we're going to jump on that. So Tony says, hey, I got a guy who wants to sell me three land lots to me. I need some help finding out if these are deals. If there's anybody in the live here, I also want you to join us on the Flip with Rick. I have a ton of people that just do land on there. But the main thing is, I will warn you guys right now, there's a lot of scams going on land of the people that don't own these lots. And they're trying to get you to send them $500 or $1,000. They're all over in like Nigeria or somewhere. Make sure you're dealing with the principal of the person that owns the land. So just make sure you eliminate that and then find someone that does land deals in this market. And I would just JV with them. So I'm not sure which market you're in there. That's what you kind of need to do with that. Let's see here. So I love how you guys answer all the questions. So Matthew's talking about a point here, and I somewhat agree with it. It says, when you reiterate that you go in person, but first you get the commitment over the phone before going out to meet to them. So the first thing before I go out to meet with anybody or I have a long conversation on negotiation on the phone, number one, I want to make sure I'm dealing with the principals of the property and the decision makers. If you're not meeting with them, you're literally wasting your time. Perfect example, you meet with a husband, but the wife's not there, but the wife really is the decision maker. If you let the husband try to translate that to the wife, and I'm a husband, we're terrible at it. We highlight the stuff that we think's important. He's paying us $150,000, going to close quickly. But then they leave out all the details. It upsets the wife. And you have to redo the presentation all over. And it usually doesn't go very well the second time because the wife's already pissed she wasn't included. So always make sure you know who you're meeting with up front. And then now you can do this over the phone, which we have to do a lot in virtual investing. Okay. If I have the chance, am I meeting with the principals and locally, I'll go and have those conversations in person. But a lot of times, a lot of you are doing the virtual. You have to do it over the phone with them. Go, listen, I'm going to go through this. It's the same thing. It's the exact same statement. You're just not looking at them and you're doing it over the phone. So I agree, but always make sure you're dealing with the principals on it. You've got to understand that. So let's see here. Joel asks, are you finding tired landlords like eviction lists are doing good in this market for wholesaling, especially being able to market them via Facebook? Number one, it depends on the market you're in. Some people are having wild success on this and some people are just getting destroyed. The reality is a lot of it comes down to people's personal effort. Sometimes people try one list or two and they stop. The key to any type of list, especially government list, is you have to work it with extreme consistency and you have to be disciplined because you can do everything perfect and not get a lead. It doesn't mean you did anything wrong. It just means that wasn't the right set of people for you. If you keep doing it, you will run across them. So if you keep your marketing consistent and your marketing plan consistent, then eventually you will run across deals. If you try something once or twice and quit, you might get lucky every now and then, but for the most part, it's going to fail you. So I like the eviction list. I like eviction lists for people that buy one or two properties and they can't make it work. So let's jump on and do some lives. Sammy, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, man. What's going on?
Awesome. So I just started wholesaling not too long ago, and I'm trying to get my first deal going.
Okay.
So basically my question right now would be, how would you, I guess, start marketing? I live in Georgia, and I got PropStream going too as well. How would I make about going about making these lists? So when I search a property, do I just, you know, I've been listening to your videos and I filter out everything that needs to be filtered, for instance, like the vacant.
Okay.
And how would I go about adding like a few thousands to my list on PropStream?
So you're looking to increase your volume on your PropStream list?
Right.
Okay. So let's just start with the basic. What lists are you working with right now?
I have a couple for vacant. Probably like 1,000, 2,000 going on vacant in the Fulton counties and Gwinnett. And I have a couple of lien lists, lien and utilities going on. About like 300, 400. It's less than it would be for vacants. But now these are just lists that I've accumulated. Now I just don't know how to, I guess, put them all in the, how should I say, like, I guess put them in a list where I can go ahead and start finding these numbers.
So the first thing we've got to ask, is how are you going to attack these lists? How are you going to market to them? What's your plan?
My plan was just starting out was just cold calling, finding these phone numbers and starting cold calling. Mm-hmm. Now I just don't know how to really get all these numbers with such limited time when it's like a couple thousands, two thousands of numbers, you know?
Okay. So the first thing you do is what I need you to do is you first of all, you've got to come up with an overall strategy and a plan. All right. I'm excited you got into the business. I'm sure you have your why, you figured out your belief and you have your conviction. So the next plan is you got to say, okay, here's the deal. Dude, I found these guys for free. I think they're legit. They know what they're talking about. This guy's been doing it 21 years. Is you got to be honest with yourself. How much time do you have for the business? And how much money do you have for the business? And you got to be crystal clear on it. Because a lot of people go, well, I want to do all this stuff, but I only got 50 bucks. And I go, well, for 50 bucks, you can't do all that stuff. It's almost impossible. And you've got to you have to clarify it. And I'm not telling you you can't do this business with no money, but like I can see the challenge you're going to have. Your biggest challenge is going to be the skip tracing. You know that, right?
Right.
So either do you know what an average skip trace costs you per lead?
About 10 to 12 cents per.
So you got it right on. So there's one or two ways. You could do the free way, which is truepeoplesearch.com, whitepages.com. It's like endless, but you understand it's painful and it's slow. And it's going to take a lot of time, right?
Right.
So you got to figure, okay, I could probably bang out 250 of those.
Right.
And so you start looking at the numbers. So if your plan is to call 5,000 people a month, you got to have a plan to attack it. And if you go, well, I'm going to do it all for free, you're going to have some sleepless nights running like data.
Right. So I was willing to spend a couple hundred on skip tracing. I guess my next question would be, what would be the best skip tracing tool service?
So I'm pretty much neutral on this. There's two methods you can do here. You know about the free method, so I'm not going to go over that one.
Right.
So you can use it within listrei.com, which is our PropStream account, or you can basically use Zach Data, which is our batch leads account. I don't care which one you use. To be honest with you, the realities are probably pulling data from the same spots. They are by far the most efficient if you're going to use a paid for service. And 10 to 12 cents. So now you got to come up with a budget and a plan. And if you know what you're going to spend, it doesn't hurt you as much. If you had no idea you're going to spend $500 to do this, you're like, I can't afford to do that. Dude, I can barely even pay my rent type of deal. So if you can get help getting these skip trace numbers, The question is, how much volume do you plan on doing? I get people all the time. I had a guy on there that he goes, well, a guru taught me I got to do 35,000 pieces of mail a month, like data. I go, do you know how much that cost? He goes, yeah, I only got $300 to spend a month. I go, I don't even have to run the math. You're dead. It's not going to work. You're going to go broke. And so what I would do is just a simple spreadsheet and do the math and lay it out, because you got to, number one, make sure you can pull those numbers without going broke and go, okay, I'll do 10% of myself. The other 90% I'm going to do this way.
Okay. Yeah.
And then just figure out the numbers. Then you got to figure out how I'm going to cold call them and how many cold calls can I make in an hour and how much time do I have to dedicate this and see if you're going to do that. So many people go, I'm going to make 10,000 cold calls. I'm like, how are you going to skip trace them? And how is your average day going to look? How many calls are you going to go through? And I go, are you using a dialer than that? And they're like, well, what's a dialer? I'm like, boy, this is going to be a long road for you. So listen, you can do everything from a cell phone and rip through it. I've done it. But I'm telling you, if your whole method is cold calling and you want to be extremely efficient with it and you understand it's a volume game, come up with a plan and stop guessing, because if you guess, you'll constantly bounce all over the board. So come up with how many calls you want to make in a month and then break it down on a weekly basis and figure out how much the skip tracing is going to cost you to do. And the idea is you need to figure about 45 to 60 days in cold calling before you get a profitable deal closed and in your bank account. And the question is, can you survive it that long? Dude, I've dealt with people that they go, Rick, I don't have a penny to my name. Ramen noodles and warm water from the hose is what is my budget. I'm like, dude, you already know the answer to this one. So some people can do a hybrid of both. You just got to be honest with yourself. If you're not honest with yourself, you cannot solve the problem.
All right.
So can you break that data down? Because that's what's going to make you either highly effective or you're just going to be your own worst enemy. And you got to be brutally honest. And do you have a car?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are you doing any driving for dollars?
I've done a couple in my area and I've written down a few listed addresses. Now I'm just needed to go ahead and skip trace them, or like you said, truepeoplesearch.com, and just get these numbers and go ahead and call them. So
now, I mean, driving for dollars is it's wonderful. So we still use this. Hey guys, I've been doing this 21 years. It's still one of my most favorite ways to do it. Now I get help with it. I pay people to do it, but they are by far my most effective leads. And then also consider reverse driving for dollars, because you don't have to skip trace it, but a lot of people overlook the time and energy it takes to setting up a list and doing that entire reverse driving for dollars.
So reverse driving for dollars, would that just be sending out mail to these?
Reverse driving for dollars is actually really, really simple. It's you get like a specialty list, or maybe it's even a list of properties you drove by that just look funky. And all you do is go up to the door and you put a yellow sticky note on there. It says, just, I got a quick question about your house. You put, hey, this is Sammy, and you put your virtual phone number on it. So if I had 100 pre-foreclosures, I stuck 100 out there, maybe 5 or 7 people call me back. I can just deal with the ones that actually want to work with me. Now, I don't have to have their phone number to do it, but it takes a lot of time and energy to get in and out of the car with gas and time. So like you got to factor that in when you do it. So I like doing that on like code violations. Never do it on probates. Probates is the one it does not work on. And eviction list, it does not work on. Why won't it work for an eviction list?
Just because they're always sending them out to their mail or...
No, because the tenants are in there. So the tenants want to stay. So they're just going to throw the note away.
Oh, okay, I get it.
So it's not going to get to the landlord. So that wouldn't work. And then probate, the person's already deceased. You got to get it to the person in charge of the probate. So those are the only two lists I don't really use for reverse driving for dollars. But like code violations, pre-foreclosures, water shutoffs, fire damage, it's highly effective. I can't tell you how effective this is. Like it works really, really well. Now, back in my day when I started out wholesaling, I just door knocked it. The problem with door knocking today is in a lot of counties, it's actually illegal. Like it's a chargeable offense. You have to go to court. Ask me how I know this.
Even a court.
And number two is these damn Ring cameras. Nobody answers their door anymore.
Yeah.
And they think you're up to no good. And then here's the problem with a Ring camera. Even sticking a yellow note, I've seen people put up like your Ring takes pictures and they're like, hey, do you know who this guy is? I think he was trying to rob my house. It's crazy what people are doing these days. So it's, you got to be very, very non-threatening when you go to someone's door. And people always say, Rick, what do I do if I'm sticking a note on the door and like they open the door and ask me what I'm doing? I go, oh, it's really simple. You want to avoid the confrontation at all costs and go, listen, I'm just sticking a note on the door. My boss, I think they buy houses in the area. Just call the number if you have any questions. Now, if they're nasty to me, I go, dude, I'm just a messenger. If they want to talk to me about selling the house, I go, yeah, it's me and my partner that do it. I'm just the guy who has to drive around and do it today. You want to talk? And that's simply how I do it. It just gives you an out if people want to be confrontational. Unfortunately, you're in a society where people, they can be violent. They can be rude and aggressive, and life's too short to deal with people like that. So I just want an out as fast as possible. So I started out door knocking. And I was scared to death to do it, but I got to tell you, I made a lot of money doing it. So I did pre-foreclosures and I door knocked, and my speech was terrible. The way I my presentation was terrible, but I still got deals and I didn't know what I was doing. And I was in my early 30s when I did that. And sometimes you just got to go out and attack the list. So if you can come up with a method to attack your list, it's going to take a lot of the anxiety out of it. If you're just going to wing it the whole time, one day you're going to like skip trace yourself. And then one day you're going to melt down and you're going to send out like 200. Yeah. So maybe you need to pulse out your skip tracing. And do 500 a week or whatever, and just break down the numbers and see what it's going to cost you.
All right. That sounds good. I appreciate the tip, Rick.
Okay, man. You got it, dude. Just listen, guys, whenever you're going to start wholesaling, I don't care if you're doing this on like a $0 budget, you have to have a plan. Because if you don't have a plan, you're not going to stick to it. The minute you have a roadblock, you're going to stop doing it. So plan it out. Some people are like, oh, I got $5,000 to spend a month. I'm like, you better really plan it out. And for those of you who think, well, you know, listen, I have enough money. I hired a guru. He told me to spend a couple thousand every month on marketing. Honestly, you're at most risk because you think you're going to pay money and people are just going to like fill your inbox. It's not. I will be honest with you. If you can figure out how to do deals on little to no budget, imagine if I gave you $5,000 a month, you would destroy it. Now, on the other foot, if I give someone $5,000 a month that has no experience, but they have some financials, they think wholesaling is always going to be super simple. They're always disappointed. And they have the highest failure rate in this business. So keep that in mind. It's never about who has the most money. It's who has the most polished, whoever has a plan and whoever executes the best. Period. I had no money when I started this business. Just about broke. And I did it. And then, so why does a guy come in and goes, I'll spend $10,000 a month and like they don't make it? It's not about money. It's about people's will to execute. So keep it in mind, okay? Okay. Sammy's gone. Let me answer some other questions on here. Guys, I got room for some more lives here. I got a couple of you guys on here. I'm going to pull it up. I'm just going to finish up the questions. Let's see here. It says, do you build ready lots? I'm in a Treasure Coast area. So like Nina, you're in my backyard. This is like my specialty. So so there's so few properties left here, in the whole South Florida area, especially on the Treasure Coast that you're talking about, but, it doesn't matter. Like infill lots are the best because those are the lots, the last few ones that are left that are ready to build in a neighborhood. You know what I'm talking about when you drive through a neighborhood and then you see like one property that's like just, it's just barren. That would be an infill lot, meaning all the utilities are set up, the lot's cleared. You just need to build a house on it and get a permit. The other ones are when they haven't cleared the lot or done anything like that. Still extremely marketable in the Treasure Coast. And the prices are moving fast. So if you can get on them, let me know. I'll be happy to JV with you. There's plenty of opportunity on those deals. So, okay. Achilles, you there?
How's it going, Rick?
Good, man. How are you?
Good in yourself?
Yeah, I can't complain. I survived Father's Day. I got some
Oh, happy Father's Day, by the way.
Yeah. It's good. You know, I can't complain. I have two wonderful children, and they've made me very happy. So I got no complaints. So what's going on with you, man? What can I help you out with?
So, man, I've been wholesaling for 8 months now, right? I joined I was pretty young and I didn't know anything. So I was all over the place and I was working with the local group here. They provide all the resources and everything.
Where are you at?
Montclair, California. It's like 30 minutes away from Los Angeles.
Okay.
Yeah, so I kind of got the basics down until like 2 weeks ago. So my dedicated plan now is I found out how to pull niche lists.
Yeah,
so I've been watching a lot of you guys' videos and like code violations. I mean, I've been pulling them mostly on PropStream.
Yeah.
So I got that down and then I started text blasting them and then calling them. And I kind of just want to, I've only been at this for 2 weeks. I've been in the Macon GA market in Georgia.
Okay.
So I just been going through the reps at this point, and I wanted to know if there's certain kind of, I'm only in one market at the moment. So what would you recommend in that case, or just kind of like expanding?
So how long you been in this new market for?
Only for about 3 weeks.
Okay. So you just.
Yeah. New.
Okay. So you've picked your market. Obviously you probably picked it for a reason. What was your reason for picking it?
I saw this one guy say it was a good market, and then I looked into it. It was over 100,000 population, and the median home price was over 400,000.
So you obviously understand what to look for. So understanding this is when you're going to pick your market, is the main thing I tell people is not to guess. Because when you decide to go outside your market, maybe, you know, California's a tough market, Florida's a tough market, New York's a tough market. People sometimes pick it on a gut feeling, and it's the worst thing you can do. Your gut's terrible because you're new to the business and like, you don't know, you can't. So let's face it, guys. Have you ever had a conversation with yourself about wholesaling constantly? Like, oh my God, is this going to work? Is it a scam? And it's like, stop having that conversation with yourself because you're the worst person to take advice from because you don't understand it. Okay. So when you pick out a market, you said you looked at somebody else that was having success in that current market, correct?
Correct.
So you're on to something there. So what you have to do is take it a step further. You need to get on their cash buyers list and you need to look at their houses they're selling or the previous inventory and see if it's legit. You actually have to go and snuff it out. And you can look it up on property records and verify if they sold it. If it's correct, you can get on their cash buyers list. You can harass them. And this is what the problem is. They're probably good wholesalers, but their ego is so big, they don't vet their cash buyers list. And you can find out real quick. If I find someone that's done 8 or 9 properties in an area within like a 3-month period, and they're having success and I can verify it, and I'm really excited about like the market, it's growing, the price point's phenomenal, the population's great, I'm in. Dude, the dude just gave me a roadmap on where to find the gold. Because you got to understand, finding stuff on your own, like guessing, is expensive. It's a real risk. So I have no problems where you're at. But I'm just telling you is when you look, I always look for other people because here's the downfall of most young wholesalers' careers. It's their ego. They have to brag to everybody about what they do. Dude, I did it when I started. Like, I'm admitting it to you. So just make sure that you really vetted the person and make sure they're actually doing deals. And you could pinpoint the zip codes where they're having success. And then the main thing is when you pick a market, you got to give it 3 months. There is a learning curve when you pick another market. It's completely different than your backyard. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, definitely.
It's completely different. So if you're comfortable with everything I say, because 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks isn't that long a time. If you have the pull ship, you can do it because you don't have to physically move. But if you're comfortable with that, like go all in it. Now, what list are you pulling on the most right now?
I haven't been focusing primarily on a specific list, but it's been like water utility liens, shutoffs, vacant absentee, and like I've only pulled about like 1,500 contacts. So
okay, and are you cold calling on them or?
Yeah, I'm text blast them and then cold call them, and nothing so far. But it's only 1,500 contacts, so
that's it. I know. You're definitely in like a volume game. So like sometimes you have to make a decision and stick with it. But the only thing I ask you is just make sure the fundamentals of your initial decision, it was all there. So like when people go, well, I have a gut feeling this guy's doing good. You know, you need to know he or she's doing phenomenal, because there's nothing worse than chasing like phantom success on the internet, especially social media, because 90% of the people are lying to you. So if you follow fake people and you try to do what they do, you're going to get the exact same results. So unless you want a really nice like Instagram feed or something like that, like get to the core. If someone's bragging, hey, I just did 8 deals, like you better make, I would verify it, because 9 times out of 10 when I verify it, most of them are lying. And how do you verify it? Once they put the property address on their cash buyers list, you can reverse engineer on how it went down. It's actually really, really simple. And some people are telling the truth. They're doing really well. I go, well, I want to thank you so much for like saving me 5 months of agony trying to figure out which market that I'm going to have success in. And like, then you just start from a broad scope. So if you know California, Florida, New York, probably like Chicago, I would even say Arizona, which there's still pockets there. Like, okay, let me find somewhere where people are moving to, they have low taxes, and there's an explosion of growth. And that's all you got to do. I mean, Texas is phenomenal. Tennessee's phenomenal. Alabama's phenomenal. The Carolinas, they've already kind of snuck up there. And then you got to go find a market within that market that you believe you're going to have the most success. And that's where I let other wholesalers just guide me the way, because I don't have to guess. I can just figure out what they're doing. So you're going to have to stick it out and just keep upping your numbers to the best of your ability and hold yourself accountable.
Right. And another question, because these lists I'm pulling are really like niched. So like they have many, many factors to them. So would you recommend just to go kind of like a more broad list just to get the higher numbers?
Well, it depends on how many you want to call in a month. Your plan on how many sellers you're going to call a month?
How many sellers I'm going to call?
Yeah.
See, that's something I got
to. So I want you to refer back to the previous conversation I had with Sammy.
Yeah.
You need to come up with a game plan. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is what I spend all my time in Flip with Rick Plus with people. I sit there and like when they get in there, I nail them down to a game plan. I'm like, if you ain't going to do this game plan, you're not serious about this business. Don't waste your time doing it. So I don't do coaching. Mm-hmm. I make people accountable. Like, and at the end of the day, I'm never going to be accountable for your success until people learn to take accountability for their own success. So here's what I want you to do. I love what you're doing and just keep going on. How old are you, by the way?
I just turned 18.
So that's awesome. So you are 16, 17 years ahead of where I started. So you just got to get better each day. That's all you got to do. So you figured out, like, you don't want to be stuck in the matrix. You buy into all that, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You understand that, right? Mm-hmm. So if you don't want to be stuck in the matrix, you actually have to formulate a plan and you have to execute it. And there's nobody else that's going to come save you on it. Mm-hmm. So what do? You pick the market. You pick the marketing medium. Now you've got to come up with, how am I going to get the phone numbers? How am I going to pay for it? What percentage am I going to do free? What percentage am I going to do paid? And then the second part of it, how many calls am I going to make in a month? And then you break it down weekly and you break it down daily. And once you understand how to do that, you can now attack numbers. So if you need more lists, then you can go to more broader lists. So if you're using listrei.com or Zach Data, I don't care. They're both as equally good. I think PropStream's simpler in my opinion. And then you attack it. So if you get 10,000 leads per month, I tell everyone, push the 10,000. They're like, well, I can't afford to skip trace for the 10,000. I go, then skip trace 1,500 of them and figure it out. Like, I can't give you both. You got to figure out one of the two, the way to do it. So you got to do that list. If you do that list, I can walk you right through it. Because then if you're struggling after a few weeks of setting that up, my simple conversation is, it's just really simple. It's Achilles. How many phone calls did you make yesterday? And you got one or two ways you can answer the question. You can either tell me the truth or you can lie to me. Jesus. And if you don't tell me the truth, you will never get to where you want to go. And the people that can tell the truth, they go, listen, I screwed up. I fell asleep yesterday and missed it. I go, okay, how are we going to make it up going forward? And if you keep falling asleep at the wheel every day, it doesn't matter what your plan is. If you're not going to follow it and be accountable, there's nothing I can do for you. And this is the truth of wholesaling that most people don't want to tell you about. So I'm glad you're at least realizing it. Come up with a plan. And no, don't put, I'm calling 100,000 people a month. Figure out if you were going to call, say, if you wanted to call, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000 people in a month, you got to break it down and go, okay, how much time do you think those phone calls are going to take and how many hours do I have to put it in a day? And this is like a math problem. And if you can't do the math on it, because you can't make 5,000 phone calls in one day, that's human spirit, right? We all wait till the end and then we try to like get it done. We have a test in school. Dude, I was the cram king. I never spread my time out. And I did myself a huge disservice. Don't be like me. So when it comes to this business, you want to treat it like a business, break it down. What is your marketing plan? What are you going to do? And if you go, hey, Rick, my goal is to make 4,000 calls a month. I'm going to call 1,000 people a week. I'm going to add 300 driving for dollars. And I'm going to do what you're doing, a virtual market. So that's different. And then you go, hey, here's my plan. And then the easy part going forward is I just check up on when we check on our weekly calls and go, hey, how many calls did you make today? How many did you make yesterday? What are you going to make today? Achilles, if you want to get where you want, you're going to have to do what you plan to set out to do. And if you're not going to do it, either quit or redefine why you're doing wholesaling. And it's simple as that. So the craziest part is we all let ourselves off the hooks being accountable. And then somebody thinks like you can hire a coach and make you, coaches don't make you accountable. Coaches just try to teach you how to be accountable to yourself. And once you become accountable to yourself, your life will change. Because once you stop screwing with yourself and negotiating with yourself, you can get anything done. And in the end, I'm 53. I've learned negotiating with myself is the last person I need to negotiate with. If I set my mind to do something, it's getting done no matter how painful it is. Because at the end of the day, I got to look myself in the mirror. And if I can't live up to that, how can I expect my employees, my family, and everybody else to look up to me? Same deal as being a father, man. You know what I always said? I always say to my kids, and because unfortunately I learned the hard way with my father, is I watch what you do. I'll listen to what you say, but I'm going to hold you accountable for what you do. And that's it. Because people can say whatever they want. So if I have a phone call on you in like 2 weeks, I'll do the same thing with you because I'm okay with names, not nearly as good as Zach. Hey, Achilles, what's the plan? And what did you execute today, yesterday, the day before? And then you'll learn real quickly that your success in wholesaling comes down to what you do on a daily basis. And most of us don't know what to do on a daily basis, and we got to figure it out. How do I start? I come up with a simple marketing plan. How can I attack this? Let me ask you, you ever watch football, play football, soccer, anything like that?
Soccer.
Everybody has a plan going into a game, right? There's no difference in wholesaling. You got to figure out what you're going to do offensively and defensively, and you got to attack. Here's the best part of wholesaling. You only got to figure out the offense in the beginning. Defense will come later. You don't have to worry about it. So can I get you to do that? I think it's going to help you out a lot.
Yeah, right on that. That's literally all I needed to hear. I feel like these past 8 months have been leading up to these past couple of weeks. So I kind of got a little bit of an idea of what I'm supposed to do, but now that you just laid it down exactly, like what metrics attract that, like only I'm going to do this. Nobody else. So
no one's coming to save you, buddy. The only way you're going to save you is just by making you take action and holding yourself accountable. So everything we do in life comes down to what you do on a daily basis. Now, listen, there's variances. Stuff happens in life, but if you're going to eat bonbons all day and never work out and you just want to go to a simple 9-to-5 job where it doesn't stress you out, Don't complain about your life to me, because that's what you tolerated. That's what you accepted. Now, if you want to change your life, you're going to have to make some massive decisions and you're going to have to learn to get uncomfortable. But let me tell you what. You can decide to be wildly uncomfortable now and put in the time. And dude, you're 18. So like you got nothing but time. Dude, the flip side is absolutely amazing. And you're going to look to all your friends and family when they start going like, you know, this is life. We have to accept it. We only make so much money. Dude, I don't know the difference between a weekend and a weekday. I really don't. I don't care. And I got to tell you, when I had my corporate job, I look so forward to the weekend and I dreaded Sunday night. And if that resonates with you and I'm talking to you right now, fix it. You're only going to live once, guys. You have a very short time on this earth. Why are you living in this matrix of settle for mediocrity? It sucks. Like, honestly, I said to myself, if I could just make $5,000 a month, I would be amazing. I remember I go, if I could make 10, and then it was 15, 20. And then I thought when I hit $50,000 a month, dude, I'm the king. And I wasn't even close. Now that I do more than 6 figures a month, I'm like talking to people that do 7 figures every month. I'm like, and I'm just like a schoolboy, like, show me how to do it. Like, Rick, you just got to think bigger. You got to do it. Like, stop limiting yourself. And that's what the root of all discussion. So stop limiting yourself. The reality is your teachers, sometimes your family and your parents, but they love you. But for the most part, teachers, it's just a different world. When my son was in school, he once had a guidance counselor. he was actually getting his AA while he was in school. And he did an intern for my company. I go, that'd be great. He asked. I go, yeah, sure. The realtor goes, that's a bad idea. The guidance counselor said he needs to work for a realtor because they're serious about their business. I go, I got so pissed. And then they sat down to my son. And so we had to fill all the reports. We gave detailed reports. I really gave him a lot. And then they said, they asked him, how much do you expect to make in your first year out of college? My son goes, a minimum of 100,000. The guidance counselor laughed him out of the office and called me in and said, your son's crazy. And so I went and saw the guidance counselor. It's a true story. And she said, you got to like get your son realistic. I go, what did he say? She goes, $100,000. I go, I was thinking like 250. She goes, you guys are nuts. I said, let me ask you, how much do you make? She goes, it's none of your business. I go, well, obviously it's significantly lower than that. And I'm just saying, these are the people that are like teaching you, your kids, like everybody. And just because you make $75,000 a year doesn't mean that's what I need to make. And honestly, I don't like, I used to think $100,000 was a lot of, it's not a lot of money, guys. It's so minor. So don't limit yourself. Go out there. Like at 18, dude, just rip the band-aids off. And if you're 90 and watching this, I don't care. You can change. I made a change at 33 because I tried 12 years of the traditional way. It sucked. It sucked so bad. And now I make more than 1 month than I could ever dreamed of making in a year in my corporate job. And I'm just getting started. I'm way behind, guys, and I know that. So, dude, go out there, get the plan, execute it. And if you can just take the one thing, you're going to have to learn that no one's going to save you. You have to be accountable for yourself. So look at the greats. I'm not going to use LeBron, but like Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant's probably the best example. He pushed himself harder than any coach, trainer, or any motivator could ever do. And when you get to that level, it doesn't matter what you do for a living, you're going to be great and everyone's going to want to be around you. The ones that bitch and complain and never get anything done, nobody wants to be around them because they're a nightmare. So, dude, 18, I'm super excited for you, dude. I'd trade your age. Your inexperience is, to me, it's an asset. So just go in there with enthusiasm. You know what to do.
Can I say something else? All the young entrepreneurs here.
Yeah.
Just in every aspect of life, I feel, especially what I've noticed as a young man, like we kind of have this youthful arrogance to us, and we think we know it all. Like in every aspect of life, like, and it kind of like in anything you want to learn, it's easily accessible online. Like look, I'm here now. Like I'm learning from Rick. I know he's qualified. He's verified. And in any category, like in fitness, I want to be the best. Like, I want to learn how to train properly. I look at the who trains properly and who openly gives us information like Rick does. We should be thankful, and like this is such valuable content. And like I thank you for the call, Rick, and
yeah,
for being here with you. And I appreciate
also, you got also, it. You got to go out and execute the stuff I told you, Lo. And it sounds simple, but like until you do that, there's no way to hold you accountable. I can't hold you accountable. You can't hold yourself accountable. And just like when it comes to fitness and everything, at the end of the day, you know you can hire the best trainer in the world. You can have Arnold Schwarzenegger and his son right there with you, right? Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you have to do the work. And if you're not going to do the work, how can they be accountable? If you go home and stuff your face with crap and like you skip workouts, you're going to have the same problem in that. And it's no different. Actually, I find wholesaling extremely equivocal to like weightlifting and training. It's just the exact same thing. You get what you put into it. And if you're not going to hold yourself at a like high level, you don't have to be perfect. I mean, Kobe Bryant was the exception. If you go back and learn how he studied, like the guy was there 4 hours before the rest of the team just to shoot around. It's insane. And nobody ever, he demanded that. And everybody else would show up, you know, a couple hours before the game. And that's what it requires you to do. And if you can do that, the sooner you do that, the more efficient you'll become. And honestly, that's what Zach did in wholesaling. He tripled down and kind of did the Kobe method in wholesaling. And he just went like crazy. And here's the secret is, if I could teach a 16-year-old boy with no experience at all to make 100 grand wise in high school, imagine what I can take with someone that's really going to like dedicate all their time and energy to do it. And I use Zach as the launch platform to simplify this business. That's how we came up with freewholesaling.com. And I go, the simplicity rules. Just go out and deal with as motivated sellers as possible and you'll be fine. So get out there, man. I appreciate you. I just want you to be successful. So take the information I got and just
light
move forward.
Right on. Thank you.
Okay, bud. I'll see you, man. Later. Candace, you there? Candace. Going once. Hey there, how you doing?
Well,
what can I help you out with, Candace? What do you need? What's you got a question or?
Well, I'm just kind of hitting. I've got a few leads kind of in the few motivated sellers that I was talking to, but they kind of have some of them have gone cold on me. One in particular. She's in pre-foreclosure. It's a family home. Which area is it in? Lake Worth, Florida. So she says that it's going up for it's starting the process by the weekend. By this week, it's going to be going into, I don't know, foreclosure sale, or they're going to start the foreclosure process. So she was like really urgent last week when I was speaking to her, but then I sent her the contract. She wanted some amendments, so I changed it, and then she didn't send it back. I called her, messaged her, didn't hear nothing for the whole weekend, and then today, because I said that I might be, well, one of my partners, we want to kind of start the process so we can start viewing the property because the time is of the essence. So today she just messaged me to say, oh, are you still coming? But she hasn't signed anything. She didn't, you know, she didn't answer me over the weekend. And I did farm for buyers and stuff, but she's just really, as these pre-foreclosures are, she's just really flaky. So I'm just not sure.
No, well, you know, that's the norm for these types of leads. Are you in Florida, yeah. Candace, or are you doing this virtually?
Virtually, if you remember, I did call in quite some time ago. I'm actually in Jamaica.
I remember you. So, have you done like a preliminary scan, like how much she owes against the property? Is there any equity left in it?
Yes, there is some equity left in it. She owes, I think it's 275 or 265, I think it was. I'm seeing some ARVs for 420. And she wants to walk away. Well, she was saying 300, so we said 290 is what we agreed on. But yeah, she's just, and then she says as well, after this week when the foreclosure process starts, then she's going to want to increase her price because the price they're going to put more charges on as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if I should let this lead go and move on.
Does she have somewhere to go if she loses the house or sells the house?
Yeah, well, she's saying that, it's her parents that are there. Her parents are there, and she says that she's going to find them something to rent. That's why she's agreed on the price because it's enough to find her family a new home. It's just her parents. I think it's there.
So the last thing is, have you pulled up the court case through the internet to see like what's factual, if when they're going to put this property up for sale?
True. I haven't done that actually.
Okay. So do it. It's very public. You can do it anywhere in the world. And if they have a set auction date, it should be posted on there.
Right.
So that's going to be in Palm Beach County. And then you can look up their foreclosure sale, which is extremely public data. But the problem is, if it gets to a final sale, it's usually very difficult. It because you have to involve a legal team and it costs money.
Right.
So the bottom line is, she's going to have to sign an agreement with you, or you have to move on with her. You can't make her do it. Now, one of the tricks is, if you don't have a partner locally, because I know you're over in Jamaica, is the worst case scenario, you could hire a mobile notary to go out there and help get something signed. And it's $70. They'll notarize the contract. You don't need it notarized. But for $70, it's honestly, sometimes it's cheaper than hiring a realtor or anybody else. You can go to, I think it's notary123.com, but you got to get her to agree to it. And what they'll do is set up a date and a time, and you got to hold her to that. And their job is just to get a signature on the contract. You got to find a way to get her to sign the contract, because she just won't commit. She's committed to a rough price. But the longer she waits, the less money she's going to get. You just say, listen, I'm not going to keep going up in price. If you want to move forward, let's go ahead and get it signed. And you got to find a way to get that taken down. It's not easy. I feel for you, Candace, but I got tons of these out here like that. So it's kind of the norm. And you just got to find a way.
It would be easier
if you could get in your car and drive to her house and put a ultimatum on her. But sometimes they don't even react to that.
I know.
So... you can't make people do stuff as much as we want to, and we know it's what's best for them. It's crazy. So all you can talk to her, you got to let her know, I'm not going up in price. This is my highest offer. So the longer you wait, the less you're going to yield, the less money you're going to get. And go, listen, I'll work with you on the move out time, but if you want it, let's try to move forward. And just give her an ultimatum and see what she does. If not, you can try the mobile notary. And if not, you can find someone that maybe you could partner with locally that can try to get you a signature. But this isn't the first or the last time you're going to find out somebody in foreclosure does this to you. So I don't have an answer for you.
You just have
to be persistent.
I'm not even disappointed. I'm not even disappointed anymore.
Yeah, I know.
I'm kind of expecting,
don't take it personal and detach yourself from the outcome, because... No. If I had 10 people like this, if I get two or three to sign, I'm very happy. That's just the norm. Right. And by the way, if she doesn't sign with you, she'll come back in a month, 3 days before the final auction, and tell you she'll take whatever deal you'll give her. But there's no deal at that point. And you got to let her know, if you come back to me in 30 days, I can't help you out. I'm sorry. Just try to get to the root of the problem. What is preventing you from signing right now? Because every day that goes by, you owe the bank more money and there's more legal fees. And I'm tell her, I'm at my max price. I can't go any higher.
Yeah.
So if you sign today, I can guarantee you a number. If you're not going to sign, let me know what the holdup is and just try it. Just try it that way. That's all you can do.
And then
you're on it. This is the norm. This is the norm with them. So you're not a miracle worker, but. Just try different approaches with her, but tell her, I'm not going to be upping my price. I can't do it.
Just be firm.
I'm already
at the
tippy top.
That's what I need to do.
Yeah. And honestly, Candace, if you could get her to sign a deal, I'll partner up with you. Just all you have to do is email me at support@flipwithrick and put Candace in all caps. in the subject line, and I'll send one of my employees out to get the signature for you. But like, you got to make sure they're going to be there for me. Like I don't want like a 50-50 shot. So I'm happy to help you out, but you still got to get her commitment, but she's not quite there. Take a risk and do something bold. I don't care. Like whatever you got to do. Because she's not moving forward. Just got, because she's always thinks you're going to be there no matter what for her. And just tell her, listen, after this week, just say, listen, after this week, I'm traveling and I can't make any more commitments. And this is the max price I can do on this property.
Yeah.
And either try to get her to sign electronically. And if worse, set a hard date and I'll send somebody out to her to sign the contract. I'm trusting the numbers are right, but I just assume they are at this point. So what you're experiencing is normal. Because like, you just got to keep hunting for them, you know? So you give me 10 foreclosures. Yep. If I can get two or three to sign a contract, I did well.
Right.
So 70% of them are going to fail. So this is norm. Okay.
Okay. One last thing. This is a small land deal in Leland, North Carolina. But is it weird? There's a graveyard, a small graveyard on the lot. Is that normal? That's not normal, is it? Is it going to be selling?
Say it again. I didn't hear you on that one.
Sorry. There's a lot that's available that I've been speaking to the buyer about. Just not the buyer, the seller, and she is interested to sell. But there's a graveyard on the lot. A small graveyard.
That's out of my wheelhouse. That's a little freaky. But
that's not going to be appealing.
Because it's like, I don't think it's going to be buildable, and it's more of a business. And the crazy part is graveyards get full. I don't know if they really produce cash after they're full. I don't know. I have no idea.
I think she said it's like a family, an old family. Like it's not an active, it's just like an old family thingy that people.
Yeah, what do you do with the lot though?
I know. And what you do with the bodies.
Well, ask her, what do I do with the lot if I buy it from you? I don't know. I'd probably stay away from something like that.
Yeah.
But, I would get the backstory on it and see what's going on with it. But there's all sorts of first of all, I think it's unethical and immoral to build on a gravesite.
Yeah.
And number two, like you're never going to get permits or anything to do anything like that. Number three, it's just morbid. So I would get the backstory and move on with it.
I'm moving on already.
That's crazy. So. Let me know if you need help with it. I gave you the email to connect with us. And for any of you guys that need extra help, remember we won the Flip with Rick Plus. It's free to anyone who does a JV deal with me. I have a lot of members just on that. Or we offer a nominal fee per month. And we're getting ready to have a live event. The first time me and Zach have done a live event, October 19th and 20th, which is going to be in Stuart, Florida. You have to be a member to attend, but it's free to all members. You can check out more at Flip with Rick Plus. So, Candace, let me know how it works out. Okay.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you. So guys, listen, if you got value from today's stream, do me a favor, make sure you are subscribed to the channel. Make sure you give me a thumbs up. And guys, remember, this is the Rick Ginn YouTube channel. You got to be subscribed to participate in it. I would love to see you guys in the event, October 19th, 20th. Me and Zach have never done an event like this. We don't go around the country and speak because our time is extremely valuable. We want to help people out. We want to build relationships. And more importantly, we want to do deals with you guys. So please check it out at Flip with Rick Plus. And I appreciate you guys. Also, check out Zach on his channel on Zach Ginn. That's obvious. I'm Rick Ginn. And then every Thursday, we come together to collaborate on the Flip with Rick Plus to help you guys out. And check out freewholesaling.com. I'll see you guys. Have a good one.